The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach John Fox, the coaching staff, and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by Verizon, Miller Lite, and University of Phoenix. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to PNC Studio at Hallis Hall in Lake Forest, another edition of the Bears Coaches Show, and as it turns out, the final edition of the Bears Coaches Show. As we enter week 17 after a nice Bears win in Tampa against the Buccaneers. Jeff Joniak with you here until 7:30, and we say good evening to Coach John Fox. And I was tweaking you a little bit yesterday in our post-game interview for the Bears Game Night Live show on Fox that we tape after the game, and I said, hey, you know, it's a lot, this is fun. He goes, hey, it's fun when you win. I go, you're always telling me that, but smiles all around. It doesn't absolve everything that happened in the game, obviously, that didn't work out, but it certainly does feel good to put that three-game losing streak aside.
No doubt. I think it's been a while since we won, and, you know, it was good to see the smiles on the face in the post-game locker room of the players and the staff and everybody that puts a lot into this, and including you, Joniak.
Well, I got a lot of fist bumps yesterday because there's a couple guys, you know, you meet guys over the course of this entire season going back to training camp, and you become friendly with some of them, and you root for some of these guys. There's no doubt about it, and I'm around here a lot, and so some of these undrafted guys that I had conversations with back at training camp and struck up a relationship, John Timu, Harold Jones-Korte, and the guys that work with me, with Tom and Lou on the TV show, they always say they're my guys, and my guys, they played well the last couple weeks, and then HJQ came up with the first 20 plays of that game. And I know it's only one game, and it's a small sample size. His third NFL start, his first 20 snaps, when I watched the tape again, he was killing people. He was hitting hard. He was making plays. He swiped the ball. He forced the fumble, and he made tackles.
Yeah, the young man came to play, and he had a great week of preparation. You know, he caught our eye. He played a little bit when he first got here against Detroit at their place, and then it didn't go great. You know, we didn't play very good defense that day, and so we made some changes. And, you know, he's worked hard in practice ever since, and then he earned this opportunity and performed well.
And you can just see the smile. And he, after the game, you know, he said for him, and he's got a long way to go, but he said it was his statement game. Did he make a statement?
Yeah, he did. You know, I think, you know, it's an opportunity. I know he cherished it. He worked really hard in preparation for it. And you always like to see, you know, guys that work hard and put in the time get the results.
Sam Acho was at the podium today. Sam was asked a very interesting question. What is the value in yesterday's win over Tampa? I asked you the same question. He answered it in a very specific way about, yes, it's more than just about building for the future. Also says that a lot of guys want to be here for the future.
Yeah, I think it's something we've tried to build. You know, obviously we're, you know, a little disappointed in our record at this stage. What could have been, but we're a lot closer than I think most people think. And guys see that, and they enjoy being together. They enjoy playing for each other, and you know that's half the battle in this league.
And Pernell McPhee was one of the most vocal entering the week, and then after the game, he actually said it was one of the most enjoyable and important games he's ever played in. This is a guy who went to the Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens. And when challenged on that topic, is, hey, we had fun, and it just felt different. Why?
Well, I think, you know, getting the feeling of, you know, doing something bigger than for yourself, doing it for your teammates, you know, doing it for a cause, so to speak. And, you know, that cause was having each other's back and playing for one another.
I don't know if I asked you this because I've asked you literally almost 1,000 questions this year, right?
I think that's cutting it short.
Your ears are ringing for me, right? Do you talk to your captains a lot? Do you have an open door for your captains? Do you have regular weekly meetings with your captains? What goes into that? Because he's certainly one of them.
Well, I mean, we vote for captains. You know, I've always been a believer that, you know, it's voted on by their teammates. You know, we vote for five. We keep one available. You know, I kind of base it on a performance. You're allowed six to go out for the coin toss, and so we have a rotating captain. You know, we also have a leadership council, which one guy from each position group, we meet once a week. You know, they get to voice, you know, their stuff, and I get to, you know, tell them my concerns or my thoughts. And, you know, it's just a weekly conference, really.
And, who's on that, if I may ask, or is that private?
You can keep it private. I think obviously the captains are pretty noteworthy, but the leadership council's guys that their position group wants to come represent their room, in my office. So it's always good.
You serve them breakfast or something too?
Yeah, I have to bribe them. But no, it's just good communication, between upstairs and downstairs, and from the team to the staff, and a lot of things come up and a lot of things are voiced, and they take ownership.
Some critics out there, they don't buy into all that stuff. They say, hey, you got to have talent to win. It doesn't. All this other stuff doesn't matter. What do you say to those people?
Well, again, talent only takes you so far. When you get to the pinnacle of your profession and you're, going against the best there is in the world at what you do, again, it's a lot more mental game than people understand. And, you can go through a list of all kind of greats. It's not always the most talented. It's the most skilled.
Yesterday, each phase did something very well. So let's start with the offensive side of the ball, because you own the clock big time, 37 minutes, and that's exactly what you want to do. But the efficiency and the patience, which you have to have, we talked about it, and every time I always would hear quarterbacks getting ready to play Lovie Smith was, you got to be patient, and he was.
Yeah, no doubt. We had a couple opponents very similar, as far as scheme, how they approach defensively, and, against that kind of team with their team speed, you do have to be patient for what they give you and, just take what they give you. And I thought, it was going to start up front. We were going to have to block in the run game in particularly better than we had the week before. And I think our guys took onus of that. We did a good job. The players did a great job of, executing the plan, and that was patience and running the ball.
And running the ball big time. At one point, you ran it 8 straight times. I don't know if you realize that, for 46 yards on the second quarter possession that ended at the 9 after a sack. You settled for a field goal, but you still got points out of it. That, to me, was a significant point in the game.
Yeah, I think, we were 2 of 4 in the red area. You mentioned the 2 field goals. Robbie had a good day, which is also critical. But, I think, looking back at it, we had a drop in there for a touchdown. I think we would have been more pleased, with those 4-point swings, and came up a little short. But all in all, we moved the ball. We did a pretty good job on third down. I think Jay was outstanding in that area. But the key was being able to establish the run.
How do you like running the ball that much? Like 8 straight times, or do you care how many times you run the ball if you're starting to really? I mean, I think offensive linemen love that.
Well, 22 is our record, and we did run it 55 times in a game back our first year in Denver.
You ran it 22 consecutive times in a game?
Yes.
When? Tell me about that.
It was against Tampa Bay.
Really?
We were at Carolina.
22 in a row.
Yes.
Oh, that is music to my ears. That's wonderful. See, that's punishment right there, right? That's just being mean. Just pounding the rock. 22.
Yes.
Nice.
Takes, turns, giving off, first man through. Kenan carries in. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. Cutler from under center. Matt Lawson takes, fakes, going to throw. Open, left side, end zone. Touchdown, Kadeem Carey. Touchdown, Bears.
And Kadeem Carey, our Xfinity Player of the Game, brought to you by Xfinity. 2 touchdowns for the first time in his career, and the Bears get the win in Tampa Bay. Welcome back to the Bears Coaching Show here at PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. Jeff Joniak and John Fox, and Carey making the most of his goal line package.
Yeah, I think he's fun to watch. He carries his pads low. He gets yards after contact as well as anybody that I've seen, in my tenure. The guy loves to play football, and it's always a pleasure to see good things happen to good people.
You like talking to your players and just having fun conversation during practice, before practice, for stretching, whatever. Do you ever get guys whispering, hey, I want a chance? Do they tell you that? He'd be a guy that would do it.
We always talk about their performance, and that includes practicing. So guys understand we evaluate every play in practice, and that's how they earn their opportunity. And that's always fun to watch when those guys get it and take advantage of it.
Which brings me back to a question somebody asked me last night. How come these guys, the Careys, the undrafted rookie free agents, the guys that don't have a lot of recognition attached to their name and have come into the league the hard way, so to speak, not saying Carey did because he was a draft pick and all, but I said, it's culture, number one, that you create and your coaches create because of what you just said. They know they have a shot at it, and their own commitment to it. Is that the simple answer?
Yeah, I think, guys that are willing to work, it's a tough way to earn a living. I know the fans out there see the glory of Sundays and, all the stuff, read about what they get paid. But, you know, these guys have a love for the game. They do it to win, to have success. And, you know, it's always good to see when good things happen to guys that have paid the price. And sometimes they may start at the bottom. They have a chip on their shoulder. And, you know, the cream always rises to the top.
We haven't talked about the defense, but the defense set the tone. First snap of the game, Willie Young behind the line of scrimmage, stopping the run. You had to do that against Doug Martin. Entering the game, whether you know it or not, you guys were last in the league in tackles for loss in the run game, but you had, I think, five yesterday. So they had some really good jumps off the line of scrimmage, beating their guys and making plays behind the line of scrimmage. Another step in the right direction. The defense has been good all season in terms of stats and so forth and making it hard for teams, but that was another step in the right direction.
Yeah, our guys played, you know, a little extra stinger, I call it, and a little bit more juice.
They were thumping.
You know, yeah, and it started from the very onset, and you know, I knew in pregame we were going to be pretty good.
How do you know that?
It's just the focus, you know, the intensity that they bring, and I think, you know, probably hadn't seen that kind of juiced up probably since St. Louis, and you know, it's hard to create week in and week out, but that's all part of winning and being a championship team is being able to do it consistently. And you know, we're learning, we're getting there, and we're closer than people think, closer than what our record says. But, you know, I think that's why, you know, guys are so excited.
That being said, then, if you notice that, and when a game's that are you're getting ready for and you don't notice it, what do you have to do as a coach to compensate for that or pull it out of them a bit? How do you do that then? Or do you get worried about it?
Well, you know, again, it's not always 100%,
yeah.
But, you know, it starts, you know, on Wednesday in the preparation. You can see the focus. You can see that intentness to make it happen. You know, we didn't perform very well in Minnesota the week before. Guys realized that. They saw it on the tape. You know, they admitted it, and they did something about it.
You know, the conditions in that game, the heat and everything, owning the clock was very good to keep your defense fresh, right? That was huge. But even like today, with the wacky weather we had here, you never know what's going to unfold on game day. Weather's a variable, right?
No doubt.
Do you adjust things, game plans and so forth, on game day to compensate for things? Because if something flares up.
Well, we kind of had an idea what the weather was going to be like down in Tampa. You know, again, you got the humidity. We hadn't experienced that, you know, in months. So our guys prepared. Our sports science people did a great job as far as you know, ensuring that the guys were hydrated. You know, our coaches did a great job of substituting. There was a lot of rotation involved, you know, when you go to a humid climate like that. You know, so all in all, I thought, you know, we prepared for it and we practiced it, you know, so to speak, as far as the rotation. And our staff and players did a good job of, you know, substituting.
John Timu, a second straight start. I think he had seven tackles in the game. Amos led the team in tackles again with eight. But he was also had the defensive headset on and making the signals, transferring the signals to the fellas. How did he do in that regard? And that's quite a responsibility for a guy making his second NFL start.
Well, he's got great instincts. You know, he's a great communicator, and it really helps our defense. You know, when you have a guy taking charge like that with Shea McClellan out, who's done that, you know, for the most part this season, you know, the last couple of weeks with John really entirely on him this past week against Tampa, I thought he did a very good job.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Here's the snap, Winston rolling to his right, under immediate pressure, hit as he throws, jump ball, and it is intercepted. Harold Jones-Quarte coming out of the end zone, 10, 15, 20, across the 25-yard line. Bears with a takeaway.
That is the play of the game, brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. And brought to you by McDonald's, this here Coach's Show, the final installment of the season at PNC Studio at Hallis Hall at 6:52 with head coach John Fox. We did talk about Harold Jones-Quarte. What do you see as some of the things that he needs to polish up, given his inexperience at the college level at Division II, a converted offensive player to play defense? The man clearly likes contact, though, so that's one thing you don't have to teach him.
No doubt. He's pretty rocked up. He likes contact, which is a lot of fun, which caught our eye, you know, in the evaluation process. And, you know, with Harold, it was a little bit about, you know, not that he hadn't played a whole lot of football, but just learning our system, being more comfortable in it where you're not thinking, you're reacting. You know, we saw steady improvement since he first got here. And, you know, I think the fans out there got a little bit of taste of that yesterday.
That was a tough one. I guess that was, what, week six before the bye week at Detroit, obviously, but now he gets another crack at it.
Yeah.
And I know he's psyched about it.
Yeah, I mean, it was unfortunate the way it went down in Detroit. It wasn't entirely him. You know, we had some breakdowns as far as containment. But, you know, he learned from it, and he worked hard from it, and it was great to see that ear-to-ear grin he's got yesterday.
One of the things about Jay Cutler this season, obviously, that people keep monitoring are the fewer amount of interceptions he's had. So I don't know if you realize this, but if they go interception-free on Sunday, set a single-season franchise record for the fewest number of interceptions in a season, interception percentage. So that'll make people grin from ear to ear also. But the work that he's done with Adam and Dow and you guys, and how you and your philosophy has taken some of that pressure off the shoulders of the quarterback, has really worked beautifully, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, and Jay's done a great job. I mean, he's put a whole lot of time in from the very onset when we first got hired. He's worked very hard. He's he's been a tough-minded guy the whole season. You know, we haven't had the smoothest road as far as, you know, wide receiver availability, offensive line juggling, running backs difference. We've had some setbacks, and but he's stayed the course and he's done a great job. And hopefully we can finish off at home in front of our hometown fans.
Right, and your fans, they showed up in Tampa. That thing was sold out early on, first time there since 05, so they knew they were going to get some sunshine in December. However, they've traveled well all year. So, you know, I know the offensive line talked about it too after the game. They really appreciated the support. Everybody did.
Well, it inspires us, and our home fans have been great too. We just got to give them more to cheer about, and hopefully we can do that this Sunday.
And against the Detroit Lions, we'll break that down a little bit more in a moment. Now, Pernell McPhee, in only 20 snaps yesterday, he had a productive line. He did some damage in those 20 snaps, and obviously he's not 100, and he's been fighting through it. And an ode to him that he's a tough guy. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, there's no doubt. He's he struggled. He's had some things he's playing through, and that's never easy physically. But I thought yesterday was one of his better performances in about 2 or 3 weeks. And you know, we need that from him again this coming Sunday.
Something that many people might look as insignificant in the bigger picture, and I say maybe totally different than that. Aronis Grassou gets bumped up a little bit, but he's a young guy. He's a rookie, but he came back in. How important was it that he came back in?
Well, I think it's real important. You know, it's how important it is to him. You know, he didn't want to let his teammates down. We had to shuffle a couple guys, when that did happen. And, he's a young guy that's got a bright future.
And these guys got to learn a little bit about the difference between an injury and an owie, right? So you got to go in there and tough it out. And that's what you would expect from an offensive lineman. All right, another round with the Lions. Both of you guys are 6-9. You'd like to avoid that ugly double digit, right? That's for sure. That's,
yep.
That's a goal. There's no doubt about it. That's what it is. But have they changed it all? Because they're 6-4 in the last 10 games. What have they been doing?
Well, I think they've been executing better on offense. We had a shootout with them at their place. I think it was 37-34 in overtime. The quarterback's playing well. They've got excellent skill people on offense. I think that's something that gets missed with their record. But, you know, as good as anybody we play, actually. Trying to establish ourselves in the division, and we lost the first go-round, and we got them in our place.
Anything weird or changing on defense for them?
Not really. You know, they're playing some young players. They're changing it up some. They're playing a lot of different guys, but pretty much the same as our first outing.
And then after that, it's out of the offseason. Do you anticipate it to be a more relaxed environment for you because you arrived here, obviously, right after another season, and that's a big adjustment for anybody. I don't care how long you've been doing it. Will it be, I know it'll be a lot of work again, but you ready to roll up your sleeves? Because it's going to be interesting.
I'm not sure relaxing is the correct word.
Bad choice of words.
Yeah, there's not too much relaxing, but obviously the second time around is easier. You're more comfortable with the people and your staff and the working staff, whether it's the video department, your strength staff, your training room. You know, we've made a lot of changes, and so from that aspect, we've got things kind of a little more settled as far as decision making and whatnot, and we can highlight on just players and acquisition both in free agency as well as in the draft.
It'll be a big off. I mean, it's interesting because the roster changed so dramatically, but it could again.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think we're positioned better. We do have 9 picks. You know, I think we've done some things from a salary cap standpoint that'll let us be, you know, a little more competitive in the free agent market. And not that we go crazy, because we believe in building through the draft. You know, so we're excited to get started. We would like to go out with a W in front of our home fans.
All right, sounds good. Well, at this time, we're going to let you go. And again, we thank you for the entire season. We know it's a major commitment to come down here on a work day, because you're going to be working late at night every night. And it's been enjoyable. You're a fun man to talk to, and I love talking football with you. I know the fans love hearing you, too. So we really appreciate all the time. Thank you.
Same for Mayor Jeff. Appreciate you guys. You guys do a great job. And everybody out there, we're close. We're going to get there, so bear with us.
All right, that's John Fox. Thanks again. Happy New Year to you and your family. And we look forward to Sunday's matchup against the Lions. Frank Smith, the tight ends coach, coming up next.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox. And this hour featuring tight ends coach Frank Smith. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by North Shore University Health System and Miller Lite. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
We have a lot of warriors on this team, I'll say. A lot of guys who, I don't know, we care for each other. At the end of the day, we care for each other, win, lose, or draw. And so when everyone's on the field, we're playing for something more. Someone asked, like, last week, well, what is there to play for? You're not in the playoffs. We're playing for each other. You know, we're playing to do our best on the field. We're playing to, you know, put our best foot forward. Yeah, we got a family here.
That's Sam Acho from earlier today here at Hallis Hall. Welcome back to PNC Studio here in the building in Lake Forest, our Bears Coaches Show, the final episode of this year. And pleased to welcome Frank Smith, the Bears tight end coach. And he's a linebacker, of course, but I'm sure every position group, yours included, they're carrying that same message from Coach Fox. You know, we are family here. And I think that's really the only way you stay tight as a team and work through turmoil and adversity and how to deal with success. Eventually, everybody's got to come together, and I think yesterday was a step in that right direction. Pernell McPhee made clear that was the case. From your perspective, do you feel the same way?
Oh, exactly. These guys certainly play hard for each other, and the one thing that's been great to watch them, you know, as you go through the ups and downs of the year, how they've been able to rely on each other and stick together through everything, through the good times and the bad, it's been a great aspect of this team this year.
And certainly in your room, too, you know, with Martellus Bennett going down with an injury. And so that allowed the chain of command to go up a little bit one by one. You bring in Rob Hausler to help out a tight end. But the story of the year right now is Zach Miller. Yeah. Zach has done a heck of a job. Just give us an idea of what you thought you had and what you have now.
Well, the one thing with Zach was in the, you know, initially when we came here, when you're looking at the previous year, the previous roster, you saw a player that really had some playmaking ability. You know, just with bad luck throughout his career, you're just hoping that you could get him back on track, because you knew that he possessed talents that you could really use for the football team. Just because, I mean, you know, I've said it numerous times. I mean, he's what you look for with the makeup. But it's just been great, because the guy who I saw in initial film study, he's proven that, I mean, that's who he is. That's who he is as a player and as a person. So it's been great for us just to be able to get him to show his talents and be able to do his talents on a daily basis, because he really does help his football team.
I keep thinking about that St. Louis game and the short catch and the 83-yard run with some speed attached to it.
Oh,
out,
yeah.
Running a corner.
Yeah.
Did you know he had that?
Yes. Oh, knew he had it. We're fortunate at that moment. He was able to showcase it, because it was really a jump start to the day. But yeah, he had big play making ability that you could see. And it was, you know, that day he was able to showcase it a couple times.
And I really think, and I think he also would agree, the San Diego one-hander on just a rocket shot from Jay on Monday Night Football kind of put an end to everything that happened before, and kind of just mushroomed into, okay, I can take a deep breath now. I'm good to go. Not that he didn't have the confidence to do it, but I think it left behind a lot of the trash from what happened before, just all the injuries and all the obstacles that he had to encounter, and now he's just playing football.
Yeah. You know, moments like that truly define players. I mean, when you have that opportunity to showcase who you are and what your ability, it was just a matter of time for him to get that moment. So it was, you know, great to see him shine in that moment and shine through since then, because every week he comes to work really is a pro in his craft and how he approaches everything with the details and how he is really studies guys. So he's just been a great, I mean, for me personally, having, you know, getting the opportunity to work with him every day, it's been great, just because I mean, he has such a unique, I mean, he's played. The best thing about him is that, you know, some of these years of injuries have really, you know, that, you know, he's going through his rehab and stuff, but he doesn't have the wear and tear, but he is an experienced vet. So you get that point of view of a vet from him, you know, and how he approaches things and how he sees things. So, you know, I'm just fired up for him just because it has been a great year for him and he's been able to have success.
I think everybody's happy for him. He's just a class guy, number one. He's a pro. He's a good character guy.
The Bears Coaches Show with tight ends coach Frank Smith and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Snap and a throw right on the slant. Miller makes the catch. Inside the five. Bangs down near the three.
Zach Miller, 8 targets yesterday, 7 catches, led the Bears in receiving. And you know what, Frank Smith, it was a continue the Frank Smith show. No, the Bears coaches show. Maybe one day it'll be the Frank Smith show in your career. But is the yards after the catch that is attached to it. So he's not an easy guy to bring down either.
No. That's one special quality about him. Once you get the ball in his hands, you know he's going to make a good decision and make good things happen.
All right, we can talk about, you know, you got one of the smallest position groups in the room, in the building, obviously, with the tight end position, but with Martellus, obviously, you have Zach, and then the rookie. Tell us about 82 and how Kari Lee's adjusting.
Oh, Kari's done a great job since we were able to acquire him early and, you know, really at the end of the preseason. One thing about Kari, he really comes ready to work every day, and he is, you know, like a sponge. He just wants to keep knowing more. Why is this? Why is that? And every week you just see him get better with what we ask him to do and stuff like that. So the future is really bright for him. We really like where he's come from day one to right now.
And in off season also, you know, just working with your strength and conditioning folks, you know, all these rookies, every one of them, even the strongest guy, you know, when I think of Eddie Goldman, how big of a man he is and you know, at an off season of not having to travel out for workouts, getting ready for combine and personal workouts and interviews, they never had any time off.
Right. That's what Carr even said. He goes, this would be an interesting off season considering the way from the end of their season till showing up and, you know, after the draft and all the free agency, he's like, it'll be great to just be able to focus on football and train again.
Yeah. Because I mean, every kid's got to go through it, but I mean, it's a whirlwind. I mean, one day you're a college kid and then you're a pro. That's it. It's just that line is boom. Oh, yeah. It's done.
And the highs and lows of who you meet, what they can, I mean, it was a whirlwind. He really said it was from the beginning to the end. So I know he was excited to just be able to focus on his individual improvement and getting better.
And then a veteran, you got a veteran in here, and Rob Hausler comes in and just dropped into a team.
Yeah.
Which is also, and that's the first time for him, and I've always, when I talk to players about that, there's more than people might think to it because, you know, they're still guys. They're just, they have families, and they're just dumped in trying to survive in a season and try and, you know, prove themselves again, all over again at the end of a season is not easy when you don't know anybody.
No. Yeah, it's very challenging. That's
how do you make them? How do you smooth that transition as a coach?
It's like Rob being a pro and a vet from other teams. You just kind of want to be able to give him the key, as they say, because so many similar concepts, you know, he knows. It's just how do we phrase it? How do we term it? And you just want to be able to provide the link between the two because Rob is a very intelligent player. Very insightful. He's been great for our room because of his experience and how he sees things. So really, as a coach, you're just trying to provide the medium between his knowledge towards our system. And he's been great because he's picked it up really quickly.
Big guy. He looks strong, too. He looks strong. So
yeah.
he can run a little bit, too.
Yes, he can.
Got him flexed out yesterday, I believe, a couple of times. Jermon Bushrod. I mean, he's essentially playing that backside tight end when he's an extra attacker. So are you working with him, too?
A little bit. You know, we do all throughout the year, the tackles and tight ends will work our combination blocks or pass protection stuff. So he's kind of lately he's been kind of adopted son of our room.
And you know him. Yeah, you helped him become a pro bowler in New Orleans, right?
Oh,
working
yeah.
there.
I was fortunate enough to work with him in New Orleans, so I had familiarity with him. And same guy I remember from back then, professional as hell. Always ready to come to work. And so when we need him to assist us in what we're doing, I always know that he's going to bring great quality to what he does.
You know, one thing, there's more than one thing, but one thing that sticks out to me with this coaching staff across the board, you look at him, you know, so he loses his left tackle job. He was banged up a lot, and Charles Leno played well enough to keep his job, but you still find a role for guys. And you have found roles for everybody on this roster.
Yeah.
So, and he... as a vet, though, you got to be willing to accept that as well, and he has.
Yeah, it's not surprising to me because of the type of guy he is, type of man he is. So he's one of those guys where, what do we got to do to win? What you need me to do, I'll do it, and I'll do it in a professional manner. So not surprising that whatever we needed him to do with other ideas, you know, Adam each week was, you know, trying to be able to attack the defense. It's not surprising at all Jermon would embrace it and roll with it.
And he's never taken anything for granted because his road was not a simple one coming from Towson. And,
yep.
You know, he earned his way to a starting job with the New Orleans Saints and a Pro Bowl and a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and that's one thing. He has a Super Bowl. I mean, he has a ring that no one can ever take away from you. So having that experience is invaluable, and what he can tell, you know, how hard it was to get there. You know, because I showed up right after the Super Bowl, so it was interesting for me to see, you know, how it all occurred, you know, kind of phrased it like I showed up the morning after for the great party. So, you know, I mean, you get to experience it all, but then you get to witness and you get to see how hard these guys worked to get to that point. And then it's been great to have, you know, Jermon and even Tracy Porter, two guys that were down there with us. And hear the experience they were able through those times they've been able to bring.
Was it literally the morning after?
It was April. It was April, so it's 2 months. So yeah. It could have been, yeah. It was about 9 a.m. the next morning.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
And welcome back, everybody, here in Lake Forest at PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. The Bears Coaches Show brought to you by McDonald's. Spend game day with the Chicago Bears Network, starting with Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare at 10:30 Sunday morning on Fox 32 Chicago. And after the game, Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW at 10:35 after the final word on Fox 32 Chicago. Our remaining moments with tight ends coach Frank Smith, a college guard who blocked on a great Miami of Ohio team for Ben Roethlisberger.
Glory days.
Oh, my goodness. Give us a snippet of what that was like, because you even mentioned you lived some of the and anticipated and previewed some of the greatness that is now Ben.
Yeah, it was that was a special group. I mean, those guys are still, you know, I get a free moment there when that's who I pick up and call on the phone to see how they're doing. I mean, when you have a group like that, I mean, there was a saying, you walk together forever with those guys. So, I mean, Ben, you know, you saw it back then. I mean, some of the throws he used to make in practice or just when he was goofing around. He did one time where he rolled to the right and just threw like a 50-yard ball into a garbage can in the corner. It was like, you know, $20, I make it. You're like, all right, I'll take it. And then he drilled it. You're like, okay, this guy's pretty good. Yeah, so you used to see just his ability back then, and then coupled with, I mean, that was a very talented team. I mean, my roommate played 8 years in the league, started 8 years in the league at guard for the Titans and the Rams. So front row center, I mean, that was Jacob Bell.
Yeah, Jacob Bell.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was just talking to him the other day. I mean, just reliving the memories of some stuff. So when you play with guys like that, you have the opportunity to have a special team like that. You know, you just taking down notes in your mind, remembering those special traits in, you know, most teams.
Did you take a swing? Did you take a bite of the apple as a player at the NFL level? Did you get any tryouts?
Well, the thing was is that Jacob was my roommate. I knew he was really good. Now, I was the opposite end of the spectrum. So of that line, of the five, four went on to the NFL. There was a small window of opportunity that may have been, you know, about like a doggy door going outside. But what came on to me was, you know, there would have been a challenge. But my head coach came to me and said, hey, I got a graduate assistant opening. I want you to have it. You know, if you want to go try the NFL, that's your call. But I really think you want to coach. So because he'd been doing it for a couple of years, been telling me this is the route I think you should do. I was a business major and I remember I was in finance 301. I was looking at this present value of annuities table, and I'm going, this stinks. So, and he came to me and was like, you know, you should do coaching because, you know, you do all of our line calls and stuff like that, and it's what you like doing. So he kind of helped guide me in that route, and then small window opened and closed. All right, and never looked back. It's been great.
And so, climbing the ladder now.
Yeah.
You're a young man. You got a long career ahead of you.
Yeah, Jacob was laughing with me. So he did 8 years as a player. He said, as a coach, to equal him, I got to times it by two. So I got to get to 16 before I can talk to him about it.
Well, you'll soon be a grizzled veteran. Frank, pleasure to talk to you. Wish we had more time.
Pleasure's all mine.
And that's going to wrap up the Coach's Show for Coach Fox and Frank Smith and producer Greg Miller, Andy Gersher, and Keith Johnson. I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for the entire season, for listening to the show. We enjoyed it. Hope you did as well. Bears-Lions pregame and 9 kickoff at noon Sunday from Soldier Field. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. Thanks for listening, everybody, and good night from Malice Hall.